Dr. Rangite Kanawa comes from a line of renowned Māori weavers. Her grandmother was Dame Rangi Marihete, and her mother, the late Digareth Rangitua Tahi Te Kanawa. Ngāti Maniapoto is her iwi. And she grew up with the smell of harekeke. Now she's not only a weaver herself, but also a conservator. Completing a PhD this year, has completed it, done and dusted, in museum and heritage studies. She has a particular interest connecting woven cloaks, kākahu, to the people they come from and protecting them from the ravages of time. And Dr. Rangita Kanawa is with me now. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
How many woven cloaks are there in museums around New Zealand? Do we know?
No, we don't really. Not of all the museums. I know in Te Papa, I had a good time there in Te Papa about 20 years, is about 400 or so.
400 at Te Papa alone?
Yes, alone, yeah.
And so I
would say probably around the figure of maybe a couple of thousand.
Yeah. And how old would the oldest one be?
We have one at Te Papa that is late 18th century, about 1790, and that's a mahi, which is a cloak, and it's quite unique. This one has all black foundation, and it is dotted with the dog fur, the awe, the tufts of dog fur, which are really significant in Māori cloaks.
Significant in terms of status of the wearer, or what?
That, as well as it's the adornment, with the fur of the kuri. The kuri that accompanied our tūpuna on that great migration from Hawaii to Aotearoa.
Ah.
So, yeah, the kahu kuri. And, you know, indeed when Europeans first came or had contact with Māori, the spokesperson or the rangatira was the person who was wearing the kahu kuri. So very significant, the Māori.
When you said that kākahu, that cloak, was all black background,
yes.
that's a problem, right? Because the black dye tends to disintegrate the flax cloth.
Yes, that's true. So it's an iron tannate dye, and it's been a concern for me ever since I came into the museum. So not only was I in awe of the craftsmanship, because I have all of this knowledge of twining and, construction of Māori cloaks and the dyeing, etc., and to see these absolutely, they take my breath away. In fact, in some occasions, they've brought me to tears because of the fineness of them. But what is happening is that the dyed black fibre is perishing. So much so that it becomes dust. And
why? So, why does that happen? What is it about the black dye?
So the chemistry of the black dye is it's an iron tannate complex. So the muka or feto, the fibre of harakeke, is first submerged into a solution of tannins, rich in tannins. And there are various tannin sources. We here in Maniapoto use hino. Other places use manuka, kānuka. So the fibre is first treated with the tannin, and then it's put into an iron-rich mud. And it's the iron and the tannins that complex, and they pretty much act like a rust on a substrate, in this case, fibre, muka. So the iron tannate dyeing process is known to a lot of early cultures, through human civilization, to acquire a black. It's this iron tannate dyeing coloration process was done. I think you may be familiar with the iron gall inks, for instance. A lot of the early writings and scriptures were done with an iron 10-8 dye or ink. And that, too, is a problem for our paper conservators because that perishes in some cases. The lettering or the scripts that have actually fallen through the substrate or parchment or paper. So it's quite a serious thing. And, the knowledge of iron, well, different types of iron, there's hematite, there's magnetite, and goethite and pyrite. And so to understand the chemistry or the mechanism of deterioration is quite complex.
So what do you do about it? Can you remake a cloak with different kinds of black dye used on the harikeke?
Yes, you can. You can, and that would be a good thing if you could. I have two hats here. I have the weaver's hat and the conservator's hat. So
right. In
conservation, I'm not, you know, we don't want to intervene or add too much of ourselves into it. So, if what you're suggesting is to re-dye some black fibre and to reweave it in, it's not ethical for us to add too much of ourselves to that.
No.
Conservation is more about supporting and stabilising.
Not restoring so much as
restoring. And sometimes people can get the two mixed up. They want something conserved so that it looks like new, but that's more restoration. But anyway, what I am trying to encourage, and certainly after my work through my PhD, is to uplift the traditional knowledge or the mātauranga or practices of dyeing, and to continue that art and be connected to, for instance, Te Tai Ao with all of the natural resources it has to offer. And I must sort of make a note here. You know, my dear mother, when I explained to her that I was had entered into the world of which she was instrumental in, into the world of conservation and making taonga or artifacts last forever, her response was, I don't think anything's supposed to last forever. What you should do is to continue the practice, and that will keep the knowledge. And
just make another one. Yes. And, well, I mean, if the art of weaving was as alive as presumably it should be, she's right, isn't she?
She is. She is indeed. Because, you know, we've become disconnected from all of these practices. And so, whilst I've got the opportunity with you and the wider audience, I want to just sort of clarify what a corduroy is. A corduroy is sort of a blanket term for every cloak. And yet these cloaks today are made with feathers sewn onto fabric. And so it's a far cry from the intellect made, and in actual fact, the effort and the craft and the skill of dyeing a fibre and plying it and weaving it. They're two different worlds. So if we were to continue on, like Mum says, to go to the harakeke bush and harvest your harakeke, extract and middle, then you are connecting. And then go into the ngahere, into the bush, and gather your tannins, and treat your muka with your tannins, and then go to your ripo or your swampland and gather your paru, or put your tannin treated fibre into the iron rich mud. Then you are connecting. So this is the whole thing of connectivity, is to the practices and to the material resources. And, you know, as far as your paru site goes, and I've connected with a number of people, and I'm very grateful for their contribution to this research. And, I've walked the with them along the paths of their ancestors, along their streams. And it's all relative to where we are today. The health of your waterway is relative to your health. And so I think connectivity to tile and continuity and practices and processing is vital for knowing what we're looking at in our collection.
Have you made a cloak? Have you made a kākahu?
Yes, I've made two, actually.
Two. How long from go to woe, from harvesting to the finished product, how long would that take?
Well, the first one took me 5 years.
Ah.
And the second one, about the same time, actually. But that's because I'm in the modern world.
You were doing other stuff as well, yeah.
I was doing other stuff, yes.
But when you make the black bits of those kākahu, do you still use the old iron tannate process?
Yes.
So if it doesn't last and is going to cause problems in the future, why?
Because
it's tradition.
It's my tradition.
Yeah.
Because it's my tradition, it's my culture, it's in me, it's in my blood. And it's very natural. But I must add here that we have, you know, during the course of all this concern and entering into the world of conserving and making, and under the in the museum world, making things last forever, we did engineer a consolidation treatment, and was able to bind this treatment was using sodium alginate, and we were able to bind the fibres together. The criteria for this consolidation is the last resort.
Right.
Irreversible. So it bound the fibres together, so induced strength, and it didn't alter too much the colour. And so that, I have used that, and that has been evaluated. And so we have two consolidation treatments at hand at the moment. But I am encouraging, you know, the continuity of traditional practices and working with the dye. And I know that there are a number of weavers that are reluctant to work with the dyed black fibre because, as you say, it doesn't have a lasting time. But there are methods. I was told some years ago that some weavers had practiced a post-treatment of the tannin. And indeed, some of the references actually referred to by early ethnographers referred to Māori post-treating the dyed black fibre. So the post-treatment was done with the tannin again. So the fibre is put into the tannin and then into the mud, and after taken out of the mud and it's turned black to be put back into the tannin. And I explained this to my science supervisor during the time that we were developing the consolidation treatment, and he very cleverly drew the chemistry reactions up on the board, and it's likely that the post-treatment with the tannin has a neutralising or buffering effect on the acidic nature of the iron. So there are some practices, and I think there's a fair bit of research to do, further research to see what the performance of the tannins are. And I'd like to refer here to the Tanikaha. I discovered through this research that the treating the muka with Tanikaha and then submerging it into the iron-rich mud, that black, which is a slightly sort of a reddish-brownish black, and it appears in a lot of the early cloaks, it appears to be stable, holding itself a bit better than those, the other blacks.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's some fine,
yeah,
the different tannins that we have to know about. So there's that alternative.
I wondered what you thought. I mean, a lot of these cloaks, the harakeke and the korowai, are historic, of historic importance. And there is a guideline put out by the International Council of Museums Costume Committee. It's now apologized for it, but the guideline said you can't wear historical items from museum collections. They should not be worn by anybody, public or private figures. What did you make of that?
Well, I thought you might ask. It's interesting because when I came into museums, I was pretty, you know, I converted to, yes, everything's so very, very precious and that we must not, you know, we must do everything that we can to make them last forever, of course. However, when we consider that there's been a disconnection for so long with Māori and their mātauranga in the taonga kākahu, then it, I think, is fair play or practice that a connectivity in any way should happen. But it must be considered, and in most cases, like Waitapapa, I know that they use kākahu to be placed on our koiwi when they return from home. It's sort of connecting the two worlds. And initially, I have to admit that I frowned upon this practice, but there is a connection, a physical and emotional connection that these kākahu embrace. And
locking them away in a glass case doesn't help that connection or speak to the living nature of them. No, I understand. It's lovely talking to you. Thank you. Dr. Rangite Kanawa comes from that line of renowned Māori weavers. Now she's a conservationist as well as a weaver. After 10, crime in Baltimore.